Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Do More of Your Money podcast, episode 206. Can you believe that, Neil? We're 206.
No, definitely not.
205 last week. Exciting one today. Find and consolidating your pensions. And I think we've got a few pension experts on the panel. So, Donald, this must be... This isn't our first together. It might be second together.
It's not. I think it's our second or third.
Yes, I think so. So, Donald, head of pension... We've got head of pension technical.
That's correct.
So they've got the technical expert. Got Hayley Mack, client service and supervisor. So all the client needs. And then we've got Mr. Neil Rayner, head of central advice. Good to have you here, everyone. We've got quite a bit of content to get through today, and we'll jump in quite quickly. But quite interesting just talking a little bit around pensions and about the benefits of consolidation and actually why it's quite important at certain points to think about consolidation from a client perspective. So let's get to the crux of it. How do people acquire multiple pensions across their lifetime, Neil, Donald, Hayley?
I would say because a lot of people in their lifetime work for different organisations, have different jobs, might have career switches. Might be self-employed, might be employed. And over the course of those 20, 25, 30 years, they'll have different pensions and different pots. Mm.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because we've obviously got auto-enrollment now across the UK. Donald, the technical expert, will tell us what year that came in roughly.
So that's in 12 years of enrollment now. Yeah. So
it's quite
going into 4 years. Yeah.
Fascinating, actually, because it's been a huge success, I would say.
Absolutely is. And with the successes of auto enrollment, we shouldn't also forget it was actually brought in play to make people save more. Hmm. So in that's always been the focus in terms of auto enrollment, get people to actually save more. And Neil has just touched on that. People have multiple jobs and they move around. That creates the lost pensions as well. So you have multiple pots. So you have 11 jobs in maybe 11 years.
Yeah.
And you've got that. So you need to find them. Then you have people moving home as well. Mm. When you move home and you don't engage with your administrators or scheme managers as well, then you probably have multiple pots that are lost as well. And the final one that I'll probably need to touch on that people don't talk about is inherited pensions as well. Mm. Where you inherit pensions, so if, let's say you inherit pensions from your uncles, aunties, nieces, nephews, and you've got maybe 2, 3, 4 inherited pensions, you can obviously consolidate those ones in one. So you have four, you could have 4 or 5 different multiple pots as well. So where you don't engage with the administrators as well, you can end up in your lifetime having 11, 12, on average of maybe 10.
And I think it's very difficult as well when you're due to retire, be it 55, 60, 65.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to remember a job that you had when you were 20.
Yeah.
And then think, oh, was I in that pension scheme?
And the thing I've realized, Neil, especially helping friends and family with this, is you tend to find they might move jobs, but also remembering who the pension provider was at the time. But then actually the name of pension providers has changed significantly.
That's correct.
Over, if we just... A very common one would be like Norwich Union to Aviva. And that's really common as well. I find that you've got that old document you go to with this company and you forget the names of it. It's quite interesting because if you look across the pond in terms of, because auto enrollment isn't a new theme, we adopted it from looking at successes of other countries such as New Zealand and Australia and things like this. And actually they have a great thing in Australia and New Zealand where you have pot follow on.
That's correct.
Where basically you move employment and your pot comes with you in your employment. I think that'd be a fascinating thing to do in the UK.
Yeah.
But we don't. And what happens is you might have a pot with one employer and then a pot with another employer, and it becomes quite difficult to remember where they are. And actually sometimes you might think, there's only a few £100 in there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite important to keep a record of them.
That's correct. Interestingly, when you talked about pot for life, that's what it's called. In the spring budget last year, the Chancellor actually touched on that as well. It's something we're actually looking to do in the UK as well. So what that does is, it just, like I said initially when I started, I talked about auto-enrollment being designed to actually make people save.
Yes.
But what they didn't design it for, they kind of designed it for inaction, some sort of an inertia. You can have that, but you don't have to engage with the scheme.
Yeah.
But your employers will have to auto-enroll you into it. So what that does is, if you change, if you have 10, 12, 12, 14 jobs changed, you would, once you change jobs, because they're called mostly small pots.
Yes.
So you have a deferred pension. So with those pensions, you don't pots you don't contribute into anymore, so they're deferred. So that's why the portfolio life could be an exciting prospect as well, once that's coming. So you could only have maybe one occupational pension scheme where you could just move around. And even with the advantages, it does come with the drawback as well. But I guess they'll probably look at that before they introduce that.
And I believe the reason they didn't do it at the time, Donald, because it makes perfect sense. You move from employment to employment, your pot follows you through it. And I think the technology systems across the UK, pension and life companies, you know, that's a big change for them to do something like that, I would think.
It is. And I think before that, I think we'll probably look at the advent of pensions dashboard first. Yeah. So it's making pension dashboard a dashboard for clients that don't know. It's just consolidating all your ports. It allows you to see your pension ports, including state pension, all in one place.
So give a bit more detail about that, Don, because that's interesting. What is the pension dashboard? And because that's been something that's been talked about for some time.
Yes, it has. The pensions dashboard essentially is something we're looking to pretty much go live in 2026. Mm-hmm. That might not be the dashboard available point where retail clients will be able to use it, mm-hmm. but all pension schemes in the UK will have to vibe at that. So essentially what it is once we go live, a client will be able to see all their pensions, whether it's DBDC or state pension, securely all in one place. So some sort of, it's also a good finder service in the sense that, but because like you touched about enrollment not being unique to the UK first, you know, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, they've had that as well. So pensions that we're kind of catching up in terms of dashboard as well. So that will be a great tool to come in. So for now we have, pension schemes will have to adopt that by October 2026. But like I said, that's not the dashboard available point. And that's the point where retail clients will be able to use that. So that's a good thing coming up in the next 2 years, two, three years for clients.
I think it's really interesting because I can't remember when we first sort of engaged on this pension dashboard project, but it was some time ago.
Yeah, it was a while back.
Yeah, this has been going on for probably about 10 years.
Yes, it's been, I mean, the concept started 10 years ago, but it didn't come onto paper until about 6 years ago.
And it's such a great idea to be able to log on a site and go, here's all my pensions and where they are. And actually, you know, just by your national insurance number, I believe that's what they were looking at. And from our perspective as a business, we've been, you know, regularly showing clients' values, investments, and pensions on their website. We've always believed in transparency and showing that information.
Yeah.
So for us to basically integrate and link in with these systems actually is a quite relatively easy thing for us.
Absolutely.
But I think that's a great tool. It is good. The positive spin, yes, it's taken too long in my opinion, but the positive spin is at least we're doing it.
I think we should just take all the time we need to make sure we get it right, really. Don't rush perfection. Just take time, get it right, so that when it gets to the end client, at least they're getting the benefit of it as well. Yeah. And our systems will pretty much, you know, seamlessly integrate with the dashboard program itself. Yeah. So that's great.
Yeah, just keep an eye out for that. I think that's something we'll obviously share once we know a bit more. Let's get in the product types. Why would you choose a pension over an ISA, Neil?
Tax efficiency. When you put anything into your pension from a monetary point of view, you know, £80 contributed, you get it uplifted immediately by 20% from the government. That puts £100 in your pension, whereas you're only contributing 80. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's a lump sum, it's a lot more. If you're a high rate taxpayer, you get an additional amount and also an additional tax rate, taxpayer as well. So from a tax efficiency point of view, very, very beneficial. People say often the question is, well, actually, when you come to take money out of your pension, you can't potentially get taxed. But in those years that you're putting those tax from the government into your pension, you're getting growth on that as well. So it's very, very beneficial for you to put in. The new rules, which have changed pensions, which basically mean that they're very efficient for your family now. You can pass them down from a beneficiary point of view. So you could pass them to your children. And then also you could pass them to their children as well. So they're a really effective planning tool.
It's a great one, isn't it? I think I always say this a lot on these podcasts, but you associate a pension with a product that's designed for retirement, you know, provide me an income at retirement, and that's always the case. But actually, it's a great product for sort of long-term planning and looking at who you want to inherit your money at some point. Because you know, up to the age of 75, they're going to get that pension tax free. And then after the age of obviously 75, it's obviously income tax.
And as we've talked about on the previous podcasts, pensions are outside of your estate.
Yes.
For inheritance tax. So a really good way of not only providing for your beneficiaries, your children, but also keeping it outside of your estate.
But I think I totally agree, Neil. And I think what I would say is, you know, kind of a question we've got here is, well, pensions versus ISAs, which we've discussed many times. Go on to YouTube and search pension versus ISAs true potential. You'll see a few podcasts around that. And I'm still stand by the areas, as long as you're saving. As long as you're saving on a regular basis and you're looking at and getting benefiting from that regular saving in terms of pound cost averaging, that's a really great thing. There's definitely advantages to both products, and that's where you can use your financial advisor of why what could be the more beneficial product for you.
Yeah, plus you can put more into your pension nowadays, you know, 60,000, which is the maximum, or 100% of your relevant earnings. But, you know, the previous allowance was 40, which was still relatively high, and obviously double what you can put into an ISA. So, you know, the main thing would be tax efficiency. But I would say probably as well, you do have carry forward. So if you haven't used any of your previous year's allowance, you can also fill that up and put quite a bit into your pension and also receive tax relief.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at an auto enrollment pension in particular, we've talked about contributions from yourself, uplift from a tax point of view from the government, and also your employer putting in. So really a good way to build up your future pension provision.
And just before we kind of move on, another area that I speak to clients a lot about when you speak to directors of limited companies, and specifically maybe his own business owners, so clients of ours that own their own business, pension's a great way of effectively, you know, getting money out of your business and popping in as an employer contribution, which will reduce other taxes. So that's something that we kind of see a bit of, Donald, don't we?
Yes, for tax liability, especially for directors or any person, if you own your own business as well, and you want to make sure that you take some funds away from the company into a tax-efficient environment, that's also one thing as well. Now, we talked about in terms of pension being a product, it is actually a long-term savings product.
Yeah.
So you're right, it is. And that actually also provides another benefit because it gives you an environment, a long-term environment for you to hopefully enjoy an investment growth. Mm. So because you've got that time, that term to actually put in that, you can't dive into it and take it out.
Yeah.
So pensions as a savings product provides you that longevity as well within time to invest as well. That's why a lot of people don't see.
Yeah.
But that's one of the benefits and advantages of using a pension.
And also as well, it's a good point. You know, most people can't afford to put in £60,000 as a maximum every year or the majority of their earnings. So because it's a long-term product, and to tie in with the state pension, whatever your retirement state pension age may be, 66, 67, 68, you'd probably want to take that income either just before or when your state pension hits. And as people are living longer, then, you know, it's as Donald said, it's a long-term investment.
Yeah.
And Jamie, you're right. You know, the background really is as long as you're saving. And it's good thing is for us, I think you was a savings plan starts at £1.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a lot of money to do that. That £1 that you put away gives you 20 pence somewhere in the pension. And just keep there, just drip feed.
Yeah.
And you cultivate that culture as well when you start with little. It's easier for you to put more money there if you don't. But if you don't start it, then you don't have it at all.
It's a fascinating subject that I've read a few books around, where you find a lot of people tend to think about the way of making money is you need to understand, you know, should I put it in an ETF? Should I put it in a portfolio? Should I invest in the stock market? Like, they look at these sorts of things. But actually, it's actually probably irrelevant in terms of the way of making money is what's in your control, which is what you can physically save. And if you concentrate on that area, Rob, because actually the chances of the percentage growth difference of 1 or 2% of looking for a different type of place, it's actually the putting money in your product is something you can really control.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. And what is also fascinating is the actually amount of, got a quote from FT Advisor that there's an estimated 26.6 billion in lost pensions, made up of around 26 billion pounds, made up about 2.8 million forgotten pots. That is unbelievable. That's a huge amount of money.
That is massive. I mean, that's 2.8 million of pension not tied to the right owners.
Yeah.
I mean, 26.6 billion. So the Pension Policy Institute actually made that, did the survey, did that, and that was last year's survey. And right to in 2021, it was actually 14 million. So you could see in 2 years,
massively went up.
It is massive. And we're looking at hopefully And hopefully by November, December, we're probably looking for another one for 2024 as well. Mm-hmm. So for 2023. So this, we're talking about massive numbers.
This is people's money. So that's a really a staggering statistic.
It is. The difference, honestly, the pension, the difference it makes, it makes a whole lot of difference whether you look at it from pre-retirement or post. Mm. For you to achieve your savings goal pre-retirement, and whether you actually have that disposable income post-retirement, it's all about actually finding that pension and what mm-hmm. you have. Start saving. If it's lost, find it mm-hmm. and consolidate where you can.
Yeah.
And it makes a whole world of difference, really.
That was one thing I was shocked about, to be honest with you, when I first started, like looking into my own pension, is how much you actually needed on retirement. Yeah. But like that's one of the massive things I think that auto enrollment's helped with, because you're kind of starting from, 22, you're automatically enrolled into the pension. When I was 22, pension savings, that was not top of my priority. But I think when you see it sort of in black and white, and like you say, them little chips away at it to make sure that you are saving, I think it makes a massive difference.
It does. The government, they're also looking to actually change that now. Where the laws have been passed. So from 22, it's dropping to 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot more people will benefit from auto enrollment as well. Yeah. And the threshold where you need to have about £6,000 odd, that's also going as well.
It is, yeah.
So a lot more. So auto enrollment will benefit a lot more people. Yeah. But within the benefits of auto enrollment as well. So that's where, our pension finder service comes into play.
Yeah.
It will create different ports, small ports and everything that you need to find. So it's a whole lot of good coming on, yes.
It's where you think, it's when you look at stats like this, it's where you really believe that the pot follow on stuff that I was talking about before, the pension dashboard, that's where this sort of stuff comes incredibly important. And actually, from our perspective, that our finding pension service in terms of plugging what we do as a business, because, this is around, a service. And Hayley, I don't know if you can just explain a little bit more about what we're trying to achieve and how we're helping clients.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we get from speaking to clients is they find it extremely time consuming. They've had experience with other companies who have done this sort of thing in the past where they're having to dig out paperwork from, say, 20, 30 years ago. Provider names might have changed, they've moved addresses, they don't know their security question that they set that many years ago. It's just a long task for them to complete. So we've got quite a new bit of technology now, which is the missing pension service now that's held for our clients and new clients as well, to be fair. So we basically do all of that work for them. We'll kind of get a little bit of information from them, create that particular client, have a look into it, kind of gather as much information that we can. But we do kind of all the legwork with regards to going to the different companies and making sure that we've got all of the relevant information. So it takes that sort of pressure off in that time consuming task that clients have sort of put off for quite a long time. And the team handle all of that. We'll send them updates. We can create and like their online accounts and transfer everything. And so they can kind of see where everything is. And they've then got the options off the back of finding that missing pension to consolidate if that's something that they're wanting to go down the route to do as well.
Yeah, I think it's a classic of finding it. And speaking to the team, we found some sizable pots as well.
It's not just been.
I always thought when we first sort of envisioned on doing this, I thought, you're going to find a few £100 in different pots. But my understanding is we've found some significant
quite
sizes.
Quite large ones, yeah. I think people are shocked as well with what we come back with once we've actually spoken to them and found those missing pensions. I think people don't realise like what they've got, and if it's been invested as well for like quite a long time, they've got potential growth on there, which is kind of way out to what they thought it was going to be. And it's just like kind of really solid, like consolidates like everything that we're trying to do and making sure that it's as easy as possible for the client and helping them reach their savings goals, really.
Yeah. Donald, you've worked at, multiple different pension companies over your career. Is it quite common this where you have people ringing in? And I'm looking at the numbers. This obviously is very common, which is, I think I've got a pension with you, but I'm not quite sure.
Well, that was how we started in terms of the government finding lost pensions.
Yeah.
So you have a form that you need to send out, and you probably just call in to, I've got a pension with you.
Yeah.
So, and you probably, what's your name? You start with the name.
Yeah.
If you have, your ID or your badge number, when you walked with us, it's kind of easy with us, easier to find.
Yeah.
So it's a lot tedious to actually find that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when Hayley touched about it, I think the beauty about it is where you have a manager, a scheme manager like us actually doing everything for you. It does, the first thing it does is engagement. You're engaging with the clients.
Yeah.
So the ones you've had in the past where I've walked is you know, we try to find it,
yes,
but we don't find anything. So what happens when you don't find it? It stops.
Yeah. Mm.
So the engagement also stops as well. So it's not just starting to find it, but where ours is technology driven. So from the get-go, we engage with you. Mm-hmm. So once you find it, so between the process of actually giving us details and having for us to do, Haley's team do everything for a client, that engagement have started, and that's what's missing within pension as well.
Yeah.
Clients aren't engaging with the managers.
Yeah.
So once you start to engage, it takes that lost pension away. I mean, the average lost pension across board is about 10,500, 10,500.
Wow.
But that's the average. So we have between the periods, I think over 65, they even have more. The average lost pension is about £62,000.
Wow.
So that's why you've seen a whole lot of pension. It is huge.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, the average imagine what you can do with £10,500 that you didn't know what's coming to you. Mm. I mean, that's why 26.6 billion you touched on.
Yeah.
That's a massive amount of pot. Mm. That is, I mean, 2.8 million not actually, you know, tied to a client.
And I think the way to think about for me, the sort of final point on this part is that, look at your employment over your lifetime. Try and look at what pensions you've got. And if it doesn't match the same number, there's a good chance that you're probably missing one.
That's correct.
Not every employer offered a pension, but majority did. So if you're in that position, there's a chance are that you're probably missing a pot.
That's correct.
And pinning it back to a certain employer is always helpful.
Yeah.
And obviously speak to the team. But that's what I would suggest everyone to go away and have a look at. Because, as I said, the average person works 11 different places.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I had this technology about 6 years ago because I actually tried to find my pension 6 years ago. I mean, it took me forever to find one. Eventually, I did find one, but I'm sure I still have about 2, 3, or 4 hanging somewhere there, which obviously we'll be using Haley to do as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, like you're right. If you've moved jobs 2, 3, 4, 6, 10 times, why not just start? It starts with, you know, it starts with a call from us. Go online, just fill the form.
I think our viewers will be thinking that you've probably only had one job. Donald being so young looking.
Well, you know, they keep saying I look like Denzel, but we'll save that for now. I've moved around a bit. I mean, the bones tell you you've moved around a bit. But well, thanks for that anyway. I'll take that.
Do that as a compliment. Yeah. Right. Finally, let's just have a little, you know, just to summarise on consolidation, because I always wonder why you should do that. If you've got 5 or 6 pots and you can access them, Neil, why put them in one pot? I can see the benefits. I can also see, you know, why would you do that? I think it's a good question. Now, why would you consolidate your pot? If you find 5 or 6, should you just put them in one? Why would you do that?
Obviously, it may not be right for you to transfer your pensions into one because they might have lower charges, they could have guarantees, that sort of stuff. And like we said before, you know, you've got personal pensions, final salary pensions, defined benefit pensions. So it may not be right. But the benefits of transferring in and consolidating it is basically you can see one full picture. You can see a monetary amount, which then, you know, even if you speak to one of the financial advisors at True Potential, they can tell you what you can anticipate to have from an income point of view on retirement. Hmm. And then also with our technology, with being goals-based and using the tech, once you get them pensions consolidated, we can then track the goal, and then we can see maybe what you need to contribute on a monthly basis in order for you to hit your retirement goals, whenever that may be.
Yeah, I think there's definitely advantages to it. I think, for me, just it is easy to manage one thing.
Yeah.
But I think you really correctly said is there's different types of pensions, and I think this is one of the fascinating things about pensions when you study it like we do, like physically have to pass exams on it. You kind of, one of the first things you do is you go, there's a pension. Well, what year was that recommended in? What rules are around those years? It's not a case of, here's a pension, that one rule. There's a pension I could sell today is very different to a pension that was sold 20 years ago.
Yeah, because the rules have changed over time.
Oh, well, it's
dramatically.
And they're still changing.
And they're still changing.
It's a fact of obviously, you know, it's a classic political move from most governments in terms of, you know, tweaking with pensions and people's savings, because it can be a popular thing to do, but also it can be a way of accruing more taxes as well. So that's why we've seen some significant changes.
I mean, there's been some positive news, obviously, about the abolishment of the lifetime allowance.
Yeah.
That's a really positive step forward, I feel.
I think the pension freedoms for me was a really positive move.
Yeah.
It gave access, you know, I think I remember the scare tactics that came out originally, which is people are going to buy Ferraris out of their pension funds. Yeah. And actually what you find is most people that save that level of money are actually quite sensible and have managed their pension really well ever since. And I've personally seen people's lives change where they can, you know, retire a touch earlier because they've got that flexibility, and you know, take a slightly more income now, reduce it when they come to state pension. They're a great, product.
They are. Yeah. It's been a success as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You know, pension, when it came out in 2015, that's just brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, consolidating pension normally you could do in terms of like, Neil is right, you know, if it might not be for everyone. Mm. But one of the advantages as well that probably we'll just touch on is, you know, the power of pooled investments as well.
Yeah.
So if you're consolidating in one and all that, what a 5,000 pot will give you in terms of investment return isn't what a, you know, £500 pot will give you in terms of, and you're also saving on fees as well, charges and fees. So you're not paying multiple administration charges or advisory fees and charge. You're only paying one within a pot as well.
It's quite interesting because I found, when I've looked at some consolidations of pots, especially workplace pensions, and it totally, I'm not saying these are the wrong funds, but they tend to be in lifestyle and funds, which is, just to describe what that is for our viewers, is a fund that will effectively de-risk as you get closer to retirement. Yep. And that necessarily isn't the right thing for every client. Actually, for a lot of clients these days, it's categorically not the right thing. And what I would say is that, you know, actually, by looking at that consolidation piece, you can actually see, am I in the right risk profile in this pot, and should I match that up? And you could be in the opposite end of the scale as well, by the way, taking too much risk.
Yes, you can.
That's why you have more pockets.
Normally, what would general would say is, where you have a deferred pension, a pension which you're not engaged with, 9 out of 10 times is actually not working for you at all.
Yeah,
it's not working hardest. That's just what it is. Because it would, like you say, it would just go into a default pot. They don't know your risk appetite. It's probably not even for you. You might be taking a huge level of risk for limited returns, and you don't want to do that. So yeah, it's just, so that's why it's essential you find it. Yeah. When you find it, you consolidate it, then you can review it.
Yeah.
An advisor can actually help you do that as well.
Yeah.
So it's those are the positives that I can touch on, really.
I think the benefits are there if you're going to consolidate and it's right for you. But even just the fact that you're finding your pensions and you know where they are and you know what you've got, it's a big boost.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, really interesting. I think I'm one of these people that have worked at True Potential since I was 20. So I've only got one pension. You'll have a few. We'll find them for him afterwards.
I definitely wouldn't buy a Ferrari though.
No,
buy a Porsche.
Yes, you probably would. But thank you. Thank you so much. Really good. Thank you, Hayley and others. And we'll be back next week with some more content. Hopefully you found this useful. And if you do need any support or help on finding your pensions, please do contact the team. We'll leave the details here below the website that you can see. But that's been an absolute pleasure, everybody. Thank you very much. And have a good evening, morning, or whenever you're watching us. Thank you.
Thank you.